Hello, hello, welcome to everyone once again to Art's About.
Show about art that's a work of art in itself. I say that every week, Will.
You do say that every week, but you say it very, very well, John. So we appreciate it.
We're also
that.
Doing letters of the alphabet, as you know. Last week was Y, which was just enough in itself. This week, Z. I can't think of a word starting with Z that's not a beautiful word. All Z words are good. But one thing I do wonder about Zs is why do they use a whole line of them to represent sleeping?
Because it's a beautiful thing.
Sleep is, probably. Yeah, but what's Zs got to do with sleeping?
No,
it's not a snoring noise.
Well, it depends on the. It's not a snoring noise from you. I make Zs apparently very gentle. Yeah, when I'm sleeping. So anyway, it's great to be back on Art's About. It's brought to you again through the generosity of the McClelland Gallery and Sculpture Park and facilitated by our own Bendigo Bank Studio.
Indeed. And, morning, Sabra.
Morning, John. Morning, Will.
Good morning, Sabra.
Morning, Brody.
So obviously, this is Will again. Sally's still away. She's having a great time. She's in Turkey still. We've got our resident artist and storyteller, John Baird, and of course, our artist and regular Sabra Lazarus, and we've said good morning to both of you. John, you are going to tell us something interesting this week.
What was last week?
Last week you talked about Van Gogh's country and western connection.
Yeah, right. Well, this week I'm going to talk about the three rhinos, which is, of course, Pliny's rhinoceros. 1,000 years later, the rhinoceros that Albrecht Dürer made an image of, and then there's the other one.
It's like the three wells, is it?
Yeah, the three rhinos, the two we know and the other one.
Okay, the other one, the other guy, yeah. Well, we do that quite a lot. And Sabra, last week you spoke about mainly about books as objects, of beauty.
I'm still washing around in the rapids with Tim Parks.
You said you'd finish that.
I did say I'd finish it, but I had a pretty big weekend, so I didn't finish it. Bad behaviour. But I have had time to go to the library, so I'm just going to give you a little sneak peek of what I am about to read.
Great. We have aspiring young Australian actor Ella Cannon joining us in the studio today, and she's going to give us the lowdown on some people like George Clooney and Johnny Depp and even Warwick Capa. We've got an unusual art connection with the International Space Station coming up, and of course we look forward to catching up with Cliff as well. So I think we'll just get on with the show.
Why not?
It looks like the shit's going down. Well, that was a little surprise. It's not the one I'd organised, but we'll do that next time.
And you got to say it. You got to say the title of the
song. I know. We were going to listen to Cypress Hill when the shit goes down, but we'll do that next time. And I wanted to play that because it's an LA rap, and I thought it might be appropriate because in the studio we've got Ella Cannon, who's an aspiring young Australian actor. And good morning, Ella, and welcome to Art's About.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back, actually. You've been in here before.
Yeah, that's true. I know. Repeat offender.
You've been in LA. You've been living in LA. You're the stereotypical actor, I guess. You're in LA working your butt off and hoping to get a big break. What's been happening over there? You've had lots and lots of chances, and you've been in for what do they call them? Not interviews.
Auditions.
Auditions. I'm sorry, it's too early.
Yes.
It's too early in the
afternoon. It is early. Look, it's all happening over there. It's nuts, and the Aussie community in particular is just growing so quickly. I think just the opportunities are really endless, and Australians have a really good reputation over there, so it's a really good place for us to be, you know.
Particularly in the film industry, I think. In fact, I noticed the other day there was a couple of young kids were cast in a movie of some sort, and the director made the remark that he was happy to employ them not only because they were brother and sister and playing brother and sister, but also because they were Australians.
Exactly, having a really good work ethic. Right. I think you really have to break your back in Australia to get noticed. It's really, really quite hard. Whereas over there, luck can come into things. You can be spotted in a cafe. It's very rare, but here that just doesn't happen. So we go over there already understanding that it's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take blood, sweat and tears. And we know that we're not the center of the universe and we're just a cog in the wheel, and I think they love that and they respect that.
I never understand that remark, Will. We're not the center of the universe.
No, I don't get it either.
No,
but
no, yeah, I mean, I've heard it. I'm still struggling to understand it. But.
Now, LA itself is a pretty tough city. Is it a great big freeway? And can you buy a car for $100?
Yeah, pretty much, actually. Yeah. It's the way I put it is it's kind of adult Disneyland, and the only person there to tell you no is yourself. Right. It really tests you. That city, it can eat you alive. I feel like it can be the best and the worst city in the world depending on what people are around you, and they have the best and the worst, so it's a crazy place. But
in a week, maybe two, they make you a star?
Is that that's the idea, but yeah. I think most people find it's not quite that easy.
So the audition process, you have an agent over there working on your behalf.
I have a management team out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you get calls to go and do auditions. Can you tell us about some of the more interesting ones that you've done?
Ooh, yeah, I can now that they've been released. You know, there's been some great ones like... What's going to make me sad talking about them because I didn't get them? Paper Towns and Pirates of the Caribbean. And I mean, you walk into these studios coming from, the Mornington Peninsula, all of a sudden you're walking into Disney Studios or Universal Studios in Hollywood, and, you know, it's so surreal. And you walk in there and there's these directors and writers you've been following since you were a little kid, and all of a sudden they're looking at your work, and it's so huge.
Yeah, and obviously very hard work for you. You're given a script, you've got to learn it, you've got to go and perform it. The Coen brothers, for example, you've had anything to do with the Coen brothers?
Yes. My first audition once I got signed with my management team was for a Coen brothers picture, which they're currently making at the moment. And it's a great script. Really looking forward to seeing that one. It's going to be...
Yeah, and there's been some other interesting characters. I don't know if you get to meet other people that are in charge. Often people like George Clooney will also be executive producers of some of these movies.
So yeah.
Do you get to meet these people, and do they get to see you and meet you? And
I mean, it depends how kind of far into the process you get, and you know, if you get cast or not. Obviously, I have been to some sessions with the producers and the directors, and sometimes they'll be there with just within the first audition because they want to be a part of that process. But it just really depends. There's no kind of rhyme or reason to anything in Hollywood. Every project is approached so differently.
Yes, I guess Hollywood is a lot about name dropping. You know, that's the reputation it has, until you get to people like the Coen brothers, who are almost incognito. You just talk about their movies. And so have you met the Coen brothers?
I have not met the Coen brothers. No, they were not a part of that.
And I think you were called back a few times for Johnny Depp's Pirates of the Caribbean, which was what, number 5 or something?
Yeah, it went very well. Number 5, the film.
The film.
But it turns out it was a bit cursed, wasn't it? I mean, with the whole dog thing, and then he broke his arm drinking, and his wife almost left him.
It just sounds like a typical week in Hollywood to me.
Might have dodged a bullet.
It was in fact in Queensland, wasn't it?
It was.
It's like going to the Olympics at home. They reckon that's the one you want to be at, but I'm not sure. I think I'd rather be doing it over there somewhere in the Bahamas. Or,
yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be better? Right,
one of my favourite moments of Australian politics when the federal government threatened to assassinate Johnny Depp's dogs.
Barnaby.
Barnaby Joyce, yes, it's good. And he was the big bully man who bullied
the
little
puppies.
He made
Johnny Depp eat his dogs,
did
he?
He ate his dogs, yes. I read
gotta draw a line somewhere.
That might be where.
Well, it was a serious subject, but it was certainly handled with a degree of comical mistakes on both sides. So
Ella, does your craft lead you onto a stage?
I started on the stage, and I really miss it. It's actually been getting to me a little bit lately. I'd love to get back on it, but it's just such a time commitment, and it's just not one I can make right now because I'm neither here nor there, and I'm getting too many auditions through to put my focus solidly on something like that, and I'd love to be able to put blinders on if I were to do something like that again.
It's a very important part of your craft, I gather.
It is, but it's very different at the same time. Stage and screen they're almost completely different mediums for actors. You know, in the stage, it's all about the voice and big presence and everything, whereas on the screen, it's more in your eyes and what's going on inside, and because you get so close to us, you know.
I was on stage in a play once.
Were you?
Terrified me every night, but all I had to do in the end was wear a blood bag under a shirt and slam myself against a wall and act dead.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun, but it was still terrified me having to do it.
You've been doing that ever since, I think, haven't you, John? Pretty much.
Yeah.
I've got a little question for Ella. With the audition process, how many times, like to get through the process, how many times would you be called back? What would be...
Depends what it's for. If it's for a series in the States, it can be as many as 7-8 times, which is hard. I mean, just for the RACV commercial campaign I did, I had to go back 3 or 4 times. Which is really nerve-wracking for an actor. All of a sudden you're going, oh, my God, I'm getting close, and it's terrifying. But then other times I've had friends literally get a phone call saying, we need you on a plane to Finland tomorrow after doing one. So it just...
And do you get feedback if as you go through that process? Are you given feedback?
If you get close. You only get feedback if you do really well or really badly.
Great.
So when the phone rings...
Yeah, it's good or bad news.
It sounds pretty nerve-wracking. Dropping names in Hollywood and mixing with the likes of George Clooney and some of the more well-recognised executive producers and actors. How does Warwick Capper come into your life?
I just did a wonderful project called Footballer Wants a Wife. It was written by Ben Nicholas and produced by Cranky Fuse, directed by Joe O'Shaughnessy, and Warwick Capper jumped on to help us out. It's a mock reality show. We're taking... you know, the piss out of The Bachelor and AFL and Warwick Capper. I'm not sure if he knew it was a joke, but he came on and helped us out, and we had a very good laugh with him.
Yeah, I wondered about that because I was lucky enough to go and see a preview of that show, some of the first episodes of the show, and I actually wondered, I had Warwick Capper sitting not very far away from where I was.
In his leopard skin tuxedo.
Yeah, he's a piece of work. Goon. And look, for those listeners that don't know, Warwick Capper was South Melbourne and then a Sydney footballer, famous full forward. He's renowned. He was a garbologist, I think is what they call him. And he's renowned for not having too much grey matter up the top. And I think that he thought this was a documentary that he was doing.
I think he did too. So. I haven't had that to break
and
it to
his
him.
Top hair and his somewhat tight football shorts in the 80s.
Oh, he's still wearing very tight pants. Yeah.
Well, it's been lovely to have you in. I'm sorry we haven't got longer to talk because we'd love to hear more about what's coming up next.
Yeah.
But I think we've got to go and we've got to move on with the show. So will you please come back and see us again when you've...
Absolutely.
Being back over to LA.
Definitely. And everyone jump on YouTube and check out Footballer Wants a Wife.
Definitely. Yeah, thanks.
Will do.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ella.
And now it's time for... John.
John.
Here I am. We've all just sat down again, been running around a little. Now, John, on the Three Rhinos. Yes. Remember, Will, you may remember because you had a... very good education. You must have been reading about Pliny at some stage during your education. Pliny, of course...
we had him working on our building site, didn't we?
He was not famous for it, but the first person allegedly to sport a rhinoceros as part of his menagerie. And he was very fond of the animal, but was a male and very large and apparently rather fierce, and it got a reputation for being large and fierce, and in fact was ultimately described as the whole breed of rhinoceros were described as the elephant's nemesis, because the story had gotten around that rhinoceros were capable of goring elephants and making a mess of them. And there was some kind of talk about using them in wars, you know, because people were riding around on elephants in battle, and they thought, well, we'll get some rhinos and see if we can't make a mess of the elephants. Okay. And that went on for a little while. And another one wasn't seen in Europe for another 1,000 years, but in Portugal, the King of Portugal got his hands on a rhinoceros from India. It was sent over to him from India, and he had... that thing in his possession, and there were some little drawings made of it and some descriptions written of it, all of which went off to Albrecht Dürer, and he made what is now a very famous engraving of a rhinoceros. But he got it kind of wrong, partly because he was familiar with the Pliny story about the fierceness of these animals, the ferocity. And so he dressed this thing up in a kind of suit of armour And it's got a rather, it's a beautiful image, but it's got a suit of armour on it and a kind of scaly skin underneath the armour, like a lizard, and little bits of horn where they shouldn't be, certainly one on the end of its jaw, on the end of its nose, but one up on its spine as well. And but very successful as an image and incredibly popular. It went all around Europe. People were very fond of this image, and it seemed to be a great way to describe a rhinoceros. That rhinoceros ultimately was on its way to England and was chained up in a crate on a ship, was shipwrecked and drowned off the coast of England, which is a sad thing. And I have in fact seen a little sculpture which I didn't understand at the time, which was kind of a wooden frame with some chains laying on the floor underneath it with rings big enough to accommodate a rhinoceros, and was called Dürer's Pet or something like that.
Oh, that's gruesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rhino as a pet. Yeah. Interesting concept.
But Dürer never saw it. He never saw a rhinoceros in life. Yeah. You know, he ran on descriptions. But that one disappeared under the sea. And another 200 years goes by and Clara turns up. Clara is the other rhinoceros. And Clara was toured around Europe, was a very popular animal. People would pay a lot of money to go and have a look at this beast. But it was incredibly docile, and was kept docile apparently by being given plenty of beer, and liked smoking. They'd blow smoke in its face. And this thing toured 17 years. It toured around Europe, slightly drunk with cigarettes on its breath. But people still paid a great deal of money to go and see it. And they used to drag this thing around Europe in a huge wagon, take about 20 oxen to pull the wagon. And it is, I'm interested ultimately in images and nice images for the mind. And the image here is certainly of 20 oxen pulling a huge cart with a drunk rhinoceros in it.
I love it. Love the picture. And it's a famous, it's actually an etching in copper, I think, isn't it?
Clara was painted off, and was, there were many images made of Clara. She was a rock star of the animal world. And the most famous one is a bronze, in fact, a bronze rhinoceros. And I think there are a number of editions of those around the place.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Dürer one.
Yep. Well, the Dürer one is the previous rhinoceros,
etched into copper, I think.
Yeah, copper etching, that'd be right.
Yeah. Rightio, that's great, John. Mm. I like that. I'm going to go and do a little bit of research on that myself. And now I'd like to hear from Sabra. I think you have
John, and I find that totally believable.
Oh, good on you.
I'm totally in the zone.
No eyebrows up.
No eyebrows went up during that whole...
I will tell you something, Sabra, if I have a chance, just before you go ahead. I've been saying to you recently that every time I tell a little story or say something, one of your eyebrows goes up. I couldn't notice that I was walking down a passageway at home, and I've got a little painting of yours, of you, with one eyebrow up.
Funny about that.
I like it. Now we're pinning that down, the trademark.
Yeah. Okay, well, since John pulled me up on my lack of homework over the weekend, I didn't get through poor old Tim Parks' book, Rapids, but I am enjoying it. And I just want to say that you get a disparate group of people together. You know, everyone's got their own story. There are the old, there are the young, there are the searching, there are the fails. You put them down a river. I think we're in Austria, we're in the Alps in Austria and Italy around there, and all the bubbles and all the froth. And it is actually, I suppose, the undoing of people and stories coming to the surface. But I've only got to the point where they're about to do the last, most dangerous run down the river. And I know my knowledge of novels tells me that that's where everything will come out in the wash. So I won't tell you what happens in the novel when I finish it, but I will tell you whether it was worth the journey at the end. But so far, so good. Other than that, I went to the library and I've got out Michael Saylor's The Last Thread. He's an Australian writer, and it's the story, I suppose it's a bio novel. So it is actually a biography, but it's written in a novel form. And it's about relationships with fathers and stepfathers and the like. I think it'll be a bit of a traumatic read, but I think it'll be a good read. It gets great reviews. The other one I got out is The Blazing World by Siri Hustvedt. And she's an American writer, and this is based in the New York art scene, this particular novel. And it's a feminist telling of the story of what it's like to be a woman artist in New York. So I'm looking forward to that one. Gets great reviews as well. And the last one is Michael Palmer, which is a bit of a holiday read. And if people haven't heard of Michael Palmer, he writes the most amazing medical mysteries, which is something I wouldn't normally read. But occasionally I pick them up. He was a doctor. He died in 2013. So he writes from a doctor's knowledge. And so the detail in there is just fabulous. And, of course, I found it quite funny because it's a bit of a bumpy ride, I guess. And the last one I read, I was delighted when there were descriptions of yachts blowing up and Big Pharma and all sorts of things. So it's a bit of a romp read. It is a mystery, but that's a good one to have a look at. So as we move through the weeks and I get through my backlog of homework, I'll be back to give you, is this a goer or not?
Yeah, you are a great reader. I can't believe you've got that pile of books there in front of you. It takes me a couple of months to read a book because I think I read at night when I go to bed. I like to read, and it sends me off to sleep. Even though when I'm riveted by the book, it's not through any boredom.
Yeah, I'm probably a once a novel a week sort of person.
Wow.
Yeah, so I do read a lot, and I do tend to sort of sit down to read.
Getting any sleep, Sabra?
No, not in between doing a wee bit of partying and a wee bit of socialising and a wee bit of art. No, not sleeping greatly. But, yeah, no, I love a book.
When I was a little guy, I used to read and do that. I'd get a book that I loved and I would just read it and it'd just carry it around with me and then sit down everywhere and just read.
There are various uses for books, of course. I'd often read more than one book at the same time. I'll have them in different parts of the house ready for me to sit down and read. But I used to have a thing called a dashboard book.
Oh.
Which I would have on the dashboard of the car.
I'm not recommending that.
Just so people walking past the car and glancing at the car could think, oh, the history of Western philosophy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or look at that guy reading while he's driving.
Yeah.
Ring the police. Yeah.
No, it's another way of experiencing the world, I think, the old novel. And it can take you to places that you may not have thought of, or it can reflect what you're doing right now. So it's always a good venture.
Yeah, that's great. Look, yeah. We have a pre-record that Swanee and I did, and it's an unlikely relationship between art and the International Space Station that's whizzing overhead. So let's hear that and talk about it after.
Hello, listeners to Arts About, and hello, Swanee.
G'day, Will.
That's a bit different to our last report, which we obtained, I think, by riding about 50 kilometres on the RPP tandem.
Yes, it was very much a terrestrial report, that one.
Well, this time we're actually in the BlueScope studio for Arts About, and we're hoping today to create history for local radio because we're going to speak, we hope, directly with the International Space Station as it whizzes across the sky.
A bit of an uplink.
It is an uplink, and we've had to justify it to Brendan. He wanted to know what it had to do with the arts, and we discovered to our delight that the crew of the ISS have been able to stream parts of Arts About as they go across, and they've been listening to us rattling on to about local arts for some time, and apparently they do enjoy hearing us.
I have heard this.
Yeah, and they've sent a message thanking us for our show. But the commander of the ISS is a Russian, and he's apparently a great fan of opera, and he likes to paint when he's not out in space. But because of the great speed of this thing, the ISS, we're only going to get a relatively short time to communicate.
And what's this chap's name?
It's Commander Colonel Gennady Padalka.
And he's a fan of the show.
He is a fan of the show. He loves the arts himself.
Mm.
But because we've got to wait until we get reception, we're going to ramble on probably here for a bit while we're waiting for the first signals to come through so that we can communicate directly.
Yeah. Brendan is aware these uplinks are not cheap, isn't he?
Yeah. All right. Believe me, he's aware. Look, I thought while we're waiting for the first signals to come, I could tell you, I saw a painting, a Tim Storia painting, magnificent, called The Evening Comet Line recently. I was just riveted by it. Do you know that painting at all?
I don't.
Look, it's got a large comet flying across an early evening sky. There's lots of stars. There's little specks of fire in the distance. It's a beautiful, beautiful painting. And I wondered how many artists have been inspired by skies, both day and night. You know, it's prompted me to think about how involved all of us humans get with the sky. You a sky man?
I think every human being's a sky person.
Yep, I think we are. We look at it constantly. We're looking at weather. We look for time. We're looking at direction. We're looking for something as simple as rain.
We look to the heavens and wonder what the hell went wrong.
We do. And when things go right, we look up and say, thank you. It is, though, the boundary of our world, as you can understand. It's a bit like the Truman Show. We're kind of held captive under this beautiful blue
dome.
Bubble. Yeah, we're in a bubble. And we're actually anchored to the Earth itself by gravity, as everyone knows. And when the sun is shining on us, it comes through our atmosphere. We really can't see out into space during the day. But at night, when there's no ambient light from the sun, we can look out and see the stars twinkling. And the black of space that we see out there is actually time itself. And it's blacker than the blackest coal. And it's kind of almost blue-black. It's quite extraordinary.
Because without light, there is no colour.
No, that's right. So there is just black.
Black is black.
I spoke to Tim Storia. I met him a couple of times. And I was talking to him and he told me that his earliest memory, one of his earliest memories, was being taken outside at night by his father as a child to watch the Russian Sputnik, the first satellite ever, pass overhead. And I remember doing the same thing with my father. I was only about 5 years old, I think, and watching that tiny little pin light just going overhead.
A truly amazing thing, and it put the fear of God into the Americans, didn't it? It got things going.
It did. And, of course, then there's the comets, like Halley's Comet, that I've seen with my father in 1986. He saw it once before in 1910 as well. I won't be able to see it again. And the Comet McNaught, 2007. Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing that in the western skies from down here on the peninsula?
It was apparently pretty spectacular. I didn't see it.
It was the most spectacular thing I think I've ever seen.
It's got a great name, McNaught. It's like an anti-hero.
Yeah. But look, looking at all these wonderful things in the sky, and I know artists have been looking at them forever, it prompted
Vincent Van Gogh, Starry Night.
Starry Night.
Yep. Go right ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No, please do. As I say, I keep looking at Steve in the control room because he will signal us when the first signals come through.
I was going to say it's very fortunate that he does speak fluent Russian, isn't
it? It is, indeed. But look, I started to think about me looking up and I thought, what must it be like to look down on Earth through the atmosphere from the sky? So I'm thinking Major Tom floating in his tin can, looking down through the haze, and what do they see up there? They see nothing but colour, brilliant colour, all the colours on Earth. They're watching it
all the time.
Yeah, and of course Sputnik only lasted about a year. Did you know that, Swanee? It burnt up and came back in. I don't think it was up all that high.
It wasn't. How big was it? It was about as big as a basketball.
Yeah, medicine ball or something like that. But, of course, the International Space Station is a monster of a thing. It's bigger than a jumbo jet and heavier than a jumbo jet.
That does surprise me.
Yeah, it's been put together out of all these little bits and pieces. And it's flying at around 30,000 kilometres an hour. So that's...
I'll just do the math. So that would be 96 minutes in orbit around the Earth.
Yeah, that's correct. At about 8 kilometres a second. So, and it's been doing that now for about 17 years. Anyway, it was recently when, of course, we heard that the crew of the ISS had been listening to Arts About. Yeah. They only get a few minutes, but they've enjoyed listening in. And the Russian cosmonaut who commands this giant machine is Gennady Padalka.
Yes.
And we're going through the Parkes Radio Telescope in New South Wales, and we hope to bring you an RPP first. I am keeping an eye on Steve for when he'll signal us when we get our first.
Yeah. And you say Gennady's a big arts fan.
Well, apparently loves opera, and he does like to paint.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we like on this show.
Yeah. He doesn't speak much English, apparently, but...
Well, we've linked in the translator.
We have linked in.
I've put it on Brendan's visa.
Yeah, on his visa. Perfect. Yeah. Look, I think hopefully this will start to happen.
Yep. I can see Steve gesturing wildly there.
Well, I'm hoping we're going to get a connection within a few seconds.
Yeah, the hands up.
Yeah. We'll just keep speaking until...
Standing by.
Good evening, Commander Padalka. Can you hear us, Commander Padalka? Gennady Padalka, Commander of the International Space Station. Welcome to Arts About, streaming to you from Australia.
Hello, Australia, sorry. Welcome, Sally, to International Space Station.
No, this is Will, not Sally. You've been tuning in to our show for some months now, is that correct?
Please, yes. It is show for art and Australian ladies.
Well, it's certainly about art.
But you have art, ladies, Sally and Sabra?
Yes, we do. And don't forget we have John and Cliff as well.
Oh, yes, old man, very silly. And young man John is no too much. Sally is no just right. Sabra is no too. These ladies good arts.
Right, yes. Look, how long have you been on the International Space Station for, Commander Padalka?
More 800 days to space, me. Streamer, show ladies, Australia.
Apparently you like opera, and you also like to paint yourself. When do you find time for these interests?
Please. Can speak Sally.
Sally's not here today, but I do just want to ask you some questions about the relationship between art and science. Is that okay? Do you understand?
Not Sally. Why not Sally today?
Sally is in Turkey right now, but I'm looking after the show, and I do actually have some interesting questions for you. I want to ask you what it's like to look at the sky from above.
Turkey? When's Sally back on Art Show Australia?
Not for a few weeks, Gennady. She's not here, please. She's very busy, and she's asked me to call you for the show, but because we heard that you are very interested in art, as well as being a trained aerospace engineer and commander of the International Space Station. Do you think this is unusual for a cosmonaut?
I speak Sabra too. Sabra said you always.
No, look, Sally and Sabra are not here. They're not here right now. It's just me, and we're running short on time. Our streaming window is going to close very soon. What sort of things do you think about when you do have a quiet moment on the International Space Station? Do you think about food, for example, or swimming, or do you think about green grass?
Think about Sally and Sabra is too. Australia ladies. I go Australia when my time is okay. Finished. Missy Higgins.
Missy Higgins? What?
She sing My Heart on Fire, Australia lady.
Gennady Padalka, can you still hear me? I think we're losing the window. I think we may have lost the window. Gennady, can you still receive us? This is Arts About through the Parkes Radio Telescope. Can you hear us? I'm afraid we've lost our streaming connection.
Yes, it would seem so.
The International Space Station, of course, is going seriously fast, and at about 8 kilometres a second, and it's gone over the horizon.
It's going faster than I can think, I can assure you.
It's not really what I'd hope to get from the commander.
Well, some aren't as passionate as the sky as you are, Will, it seems.
Well, possibly not, but that's it, nonetheless.
Okay, so we're back live again now, so we can talk about that later. But in the meantime, my mistake earlier has been rectified. I thought we didn't have Cliff today, and of course he is here, and he's always, as always, fully prepared, and we're looking forward to speaking with you. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. Who is it? Will, is it?
It is Will.
Hello, Will.
Morning, Cliff.
Hello, John. Hello, Sabra.
Morning, Cliff.
Hey, Sabra Lazarus.
Yeah, that'd be right. That'd be me. Yeah.
I was a really good swimmer at school. In fact, I was the best. But Lazarus beat me in a race there one day. He got drowned in the Yarra River. No relation?
No.
Young boy?
No.
Really good swimmer?
No.
He apparently was tough not. Like you.
Yeah. Was tough? Yeah, I'm pretty tough.
I'm in a reflective mood today. I've been sick for 4 days, by the way. I've been housebound, but I dragged myself out because I wasn't here last week. And I thought it might do me some good. I'm not sure that it is. But never mind, I'll try and do something.
Well, thanks for coming here.
I forced myself to come here. Yeah. I need to meet a good Christian or something to buck me up. But I don't know. I've never met a
Christian.
Yeah,
good luck with that, Cliff.
Have you ever met a Christian? I've never met one.
They come trying to sell magazines sometimes up to the farm.
Yeah. I heard you last week with Swanee. Swanee having any go at me, was he? Swanee, oh, what a cheek.
No, he loves you, Cliff.
Does he? Okay, well, he said something about I do nothing. I never stop. I'm a very busy person. Mm. Anyway, about today, what is it? The performing arts, yeah. Well, the Melbourne Fringe Festival has been run and won, so there's a good selection of a number of four-star reviews, but no point naming them because it's all gone. Now we've got a new festival, haven't we? What's the new festival? What's the really important one?
The Fringe Festival?
No.
Oh.
The Seniors Festival.
Oh, the Seniors Festival. I didn't know there was such a thing.
No,
not at all. I have a seniors card.
It starts today and it runs for a week and there's lots of things on. And as I say, every year, but it only seems to run to Frankston. Maybe there's something on down here, but I don't seem to come across them anywhere. The theme this year is called Celebrating Communities, which is just fantastic, with all Sabra's flags and everything. I love that too. So there is a show for the kids still running at the MTC, Lawless Studios in South Bank. The Boy at the Edge of Everything. Apparently this is pretty good, so of course I haven't gone. It's supposedly good for adults as well as children. No, I haven't. I'm a cut and paste man today. Do you know what cut and paste means, all you ladies out there listening? Well, don't you worry. You give me a ring and I'll come and show you.
On the interweb.
Providing you're under 60. But anyway, oh yes, I suppose I better mention that Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats again. Oh, I know Sabra loves it.
Yeah, that'd be a favourite. That'd be an absolute favourite. On the space station or hanging out with Captain Kirk, I would make Cats my first option.
It's coming to the region the week before Christmas.
Or even better, celebration to follow up.
Who's singing Memories? That's what I want to know.
Who is?
Delta Goodrum. Yeah, she's...
Say no more.
She's terrific.
She's a senior now too, I think, isn't she, Delta?
Don't know. I was in Neighbours with her there once. Some years back when she was a very young sort of thing, you know. What about Senator Mitch Fifield, the new Minister for the Arts? Are we going to get some results from him?
Well, we mentioned him last week because we are curious to know. It's been a couple of weeks since he was appointed.
And, yeah.
We did compare him to the president of a football club with the haircut, and we're not sure what's going to happen.
My theory is that they never give the money back.
No. Well, Brandis did, didn't he? He cut the funding to the most creative body of artists by about half.
Yep. So I don't think that money's coming back, but they might be doing other things that are interesting or helpful. We'll see.
It's hard to say. I think there was something out the other day about a report on the opera, and apparently the report is not good, the opera. There's operas in Queensland, West Australia, South Australia, and the big one, the Australian Opera. And they haven't been doing as many shows as they did last year, so it's sort of the results of this review, which Brandis asked for. It's not really a good one, but as Brandis isn't there anymore, we don't quite know what's going to happen. But more to the point, you know, all that money taken from Australia Council.
They just get the results they commission.
I've got a new prime
in
minister.
In those situations.
I think the new Prime Minister does have a personal interest in art.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. I remember his famous remark about when everyone was complaining about the Bill Henson photographs.
Yeah.
And saying how sickening the whole thing was. And Turnbull's response was, well, I own three of them.
Mm, he's got them hanging over his fireplace. Yeah. And he is well informed about contemporary arts. Mm. And
yes, poor old Kevvy Rudd will give him a bit of a miss, I suppose.
Mm.
But, we, you know, Turnbull's a charm man, isn't he? He puts on a charm. So we'll wait and see.
We'll see.
We won't get too political. The Odd Couple's on at the MTC. Coming on, Neil Simon's play with Sean McAuliffe and Francis Greenslade. I saw that in London in about 1996 with Jack Klugman. He had a voice box. That's how old he was.
Oh,
and Tony Martin. It's really funny. You go to the West End, you see these plays. I went to a matinee, so it's all the Blue Ridge Brigade. And as soon as they come on the stage, they get huge applause before the show starts.
Mm.
Of course, they were terrible. Mm. I left at interval. I was disgusted. It cost me £40. So anyway, I won't talk about it anymore. Other than I watched Open Slather. I actually got asked to do a job in it. And there's a new book out by Magda, which is supposed to be really good.
You got a request for some music today, Cliff?
Excellent.
Oh, Frank Sinatra. Look, there's been two specials on SBS Saturday nights. Fantastic on Frank Sinatra. So let's go Birth of the Blues.
Thanks for coming in, Cliff.
Think of it, Cliff, and apparently it comes on.
I know. It's great.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week, I hope, Cliff.
Who knows?
Okay, that looks like that's it for another week. Once again, it seems to go really fast.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Mm, we've got room for a little bit of news, if anybody has an item that they want to...
Well, Sabra Lazarus' show is on at Antipodes. Better get down there and have a look at that.
You were at the opening on Saturday night, John?
Saturday afternoon, yes.
You
made a speech.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah, it was a lovely afternoon. I've got a little bit of news. It isn't on our news sheet that I listened to on the way in, that there's a group of women artists from Indonesia, and there's a new alliance forming between women artists in Indonesia and women artists in Australia. And there's a lot of work going on in Jakarta right now, and they've got a show at the Footscray Art Centre right now. So if you happen to be in the city, it sounded really interesting. I don't have the details in front of me, but just look up Footscray Community Art Centre and I'm sure you'll find a bit of info on it.
Okay. I've got a couple of things here at headquarters at the NGV. It's the Al Weiwei show that is coming up. I think it's not till December. December the 11th, and it's going to run through till April 24th. In
Warhol and Weiwei.
Warhol and Weiwei. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. Go to the website for the NGV and have a look at that. And The Moth, Music on the Hill.
Yep.
The next one coming up is Friday the 6th of November. Robin Griffiths rang to let us know. Susanna Espy and the Yearlings, plus there'll be a local artist. It's got to be confirmed yet, but check the Moth, M-O-T-H, yep, website and get details of that.
Good event.
Yeah.
And Anthea is busy at it again at SPAC, the Southern Peninsula space. I've lost my words.
Arts Centre.
Thank you, Will, for bailing me. And the piece going there is called A Woman's Place, and that's all weekend from the 30th of October to the 1st of November. And it's including pop-up op shops, stories, workshops, conversations, poetries, and singing. And there's a little note here that actually the agenda looks absolutely amazing.
It does. That's absolutely flat out for the whole weekend.
Yep.
SPAC is fully occupied. Go to the SPAC website, get details, make sure that you book tickets. That'll be a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to put info on our Facebook site, Will, about when it's possible to speak to the International Space Station?
I could probably do that, yeah, although we didn't get much time to discuss. It didn't go that well. But
I thought it went very well.
We made contact.
Yes, and it brought a perfectly strong intergalactic feel to the show, which I think was missing.
It's been missing, hasn't
it? It has been missing.
So we need to get out there a bit more. Let's get into other galaxies. Look, if you've just tuned in, what you've missed is Arts About. and I don't want you to miss it again.
Right.
So you can catch us from the RPP website via podcast, and hopefully that will appear sometime magically in the next few days. You can hear us again on Wednesdays at 12 o'clock after Health Matters with Angela Jacobson. You will find a link on the RPP website to our Facebook page also.
And podcasting.
And podcasting.
Have you podcasted?
I think I have, yeah. I didn't catch anything, though.
No.
And look, thanks for tuning into Arts About. If you did enjoy the show, look at our Facebook page. And we'll see you again next week. Are we going to say it?
Oh, no. I think we're responsible, at least responsible to Sally.
Yeah, so we don't know
so what this is for Sally.
Yeah. Look, we don't know what we like, but at least we know nothing about
nothing
art.
What we like or nothing about art.
Yeah.
Something. Well, that was, look towards the sky.
Yeah, that was good. That was a cock up.